All right, well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Education Is podcast. My name is Nicole Forsyth, broadcasting today, as always, with my partner in crime.
Welcome everyone, this is Al Paterka.
Broadcasting today from lovely Cedar Rapids, Iowa at Kirkwood Community College. We're joined today by Sam Bishop and Jeff Bishop. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey.
So Sam is a student at the Big Ideas Group. We talked to Sean Cornelli in a previous episode about that school, and Jeff is his dad, in addition to doing other things in life. But we're here, yeah, just to kind of learn a little bit more about the experience of Big. So, anyone want to take a stab at refreshing our listeners as what Big is?
Big is a school, and it's based in Cedar Rapids. It is proficiency-based and project-based, so if you can do it, you pass. And there's not really much assigned work, it's just go learn about this, and he will come up with something about what you do and it really make you figure out what you're supposed to be doing. And I made a blog about phasers and how they work from Star Trek and transporters, again, from Star Trek and how they work.
Awesome.
He just kind of led me into making myself make the blog about the phasers and transporters.
Nice.
And apparently I'm proficient in that.
But you haven't necessarily built a transporter.
No.
Okay.
I was like, sweet, this is the best school ever, phasers right. And transporters. And so you tell us about, like, the physical space. I mean, you're not walking into, like, junior high building. Like, where is it and what's it like to go there?
It's in Guaranty Bank in Cedar Rapids. It's mostly open, lots of offices, several small businesses that are in the big school have opened up offices there. And Mr. Cornelli does most of the physics stuff, but some other people do small business, entrepreneuring, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I thought the location was a really interesting environment. You know, the first time going up there, it's in, I think, the fifth floor of this bank, and it's a place called The Vault with a lot of small business kind of incubator facilities there, too. So I thought it was a really interesting location, you know, in downtown Cedar Rapids among all these kind of startup businesses, and then there's this big school located right in the same office space with those.
Plus, the building has a turret on it, and that's pretty awesome. You have some symposium there.
Yeah, so tell us about symposium. Like, what is symposium, and how does that happen?
In symposium, we all get together. About half the students go in one time, the other half go in another one, and we just talk about what we've been doing. And the other students give suggestions, say you're doing this all wrong, that kind of stuff.
How often do you do symposiums?
Every Friday.
A pretty frequent occurrence then. So is that kind of a normal week? You kind of work on your stuff throughout the work on your projects throughout the week, and then at the end of the week you get together as a group.
Yeah, and we also have one weekly planning when we see Mr. Cornelli and tells us what we might want to do and
nice.
All that good stuff.
Excellent. So Jeff, tell us about how did you learn about Big and what was it like as a parent to think about sending Sam there?
Oh, well, Mr. Cornelli teaches at Solon, and I think that's kind of how we made that first connection with Big, and we were thinking about summer programs for Sam, and I know when I was a kid, we'd go sometimes off to a college for a week for a summer program, and I thought Big was really interesting because that's an all summer long. It's not just kind of one week. It's kind of a longer ongoing a chance to do a deeper project and learn more things, so I thought that was a really good opportunity.
Excellent. Now, my understanding is Big will also go through the school year. Is that... Do you guys know if that's right?
Yeah. I'm going to perhaps take all four of my blocks at Solon, but after school, sometimes I'll take Big, like, continue doing it how I am. And I could possibly get Physics 2 credits for that.
Very, very cool. Yeah, we'll have to follow up a little bit with Sean and see, because I believe it's being offered as kind of a concurrent enrollment option for high school, for Cedar Rapids. So, let's see here. You came up with your project in conjunction with Mr. Cornelli. I've heard that the projects were kind of hard to define at first. Like, how did you settle on being interested in transformers and phasers, other than they're cool?
Well, I did the transporters and phasers just to learn more about physics. He just kind of suggested I write a blog Star Trek related. But why I started in... Big by learning about superconductors. I started superconductors in the school year. I tried it. He said he might have a friend that could send him a superconductor so I could mess around in the school year, but took a little bit longer than expected, so I went to the big school and continued working on it there.
What is a superconductor?
A superconductor, it conducts perfectly. All the electrons align, so it conducts very quickly and there's no energy loss.
Hmm.
Also, superconductors, they turn into a diamagnet and expel their magnetic field. Diamagnets work in opposite of a paramagnet, which is what we're kind of used to. So when you put a magnet over a superconductor, it will float over it.
Hmm.
You also have to get superconductors very cold in order for them to work, so we had to track down some liquid nitrogen. Liquid nitrogen, easy to find, a way to safely carry it without it exploding or asphyxiating everyone around you. That's a little bit harder, because no one seems willing to lend you one, do, or a canister.
Nice. So there was a day this summer where you were down on the Ped Mall in Iowa City, which is kind of just a pedestrian place where people can walk around, and you were talking about superconductors. Tell us about why you did that and what that was like.
I just wanted to show the general public what a superconductor is, and Mr. Cornelli said I need to work on public speaking. So I just got a table up and got the superconductor, the liquid nitrogen, and I explained all the stuff about magnets and superconductors to random people on the street. Meet some interesting characters out there.
I thought that, you know, Jen, your mom, who's one of my coworkers here at Kirkwood, mentioned, because I live in Iowa City, and she mentioned that you were down there that day, and I was like, That sounds tough. Like, I mean, if I just had to stand on any street and talk to random strangers about any project I was working on, like, that's not an easy thing to do. So what a great thing to be able to educate yourself by making yourself kind of uncomfortable.
Was it uncomfortable to be out there just kind of talking about stuff that you love, or was it kind of something that was...
It was a bit uncomfortable at times.
Uh-huh.
It's more comfortable when the rational, normal people came up. But when it was the people that, the weird people came up, then it became very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. So, Jeff, as a parent, what would you think if Sam were to do this kind of education all the time? Like, if you weren't to go to Solon, but if you were just to... We've talked a little bit here about kind of what would it mean for students to really self-guide their education. Mm-hmm. So that's a challenging, mm-hmm. very loaded question, but just curious on your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a really different kind of approach. I think it's the kind of thing that might work better for some students than for others. You know, I think someone like Sam that's really interested in certain things could really get a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other students maybe are not as motivated to, because it really takes a lot of initiative and you have to really be interested and do things on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like, in a way, a good approach might be a balance of some kind of traditional, mm-hmm. or, you know, learning the basics, and then some kind of exploring and doing your own projects might be a good mix. And it sounds like that's kind of what Sam is going to try to do.
Yeah. I think it is an option to only take big, though.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like big.
Yeah. I'm just really intrigued to see, you know, because I think oftentimes in education, maybe I zero in on these things because I'm very resistant to them, but there's this real feeling of we have to force students to learn, you know, no one will learn physics if you don't sit them down and force it down their throats, kind of, or no one will learn English or no one will learn math if we don't force them to. But I'm always interested in students who are really interested in a discipline and are willing to kind of take the next step and educate themselves. And what would education look like if we trusted students and gave them a little bit more autonomy? Like, what would they do? I don't know.
Might just run with it. Yeah, can you talk about how you perceive of your learning now that you've gone through big, as opposed to, like, before when you were just kind of going through the more traditional model where it's, you know, and my concept of my own education, I guess, was, you know, you go to these different rooms, these periods, all sectioned up into certain disciplines, very compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. I wonder, do you have a different concept of what it's like to learn things now?
I'd say yes. When you're in school, you just try and get through the day. But when you're in big, it feels like you're actually learning something. There's not really that many due dates or assignments or anything. You just learn. It's fun. School, not so much.
Do you think now that you're going to go back to school part, will this experience at big transform that part of it as well? Will you bring that those kind of energies from Big back to the classroom at all?
I hope so.
Ideally. Yeah.
But so, it kind of feels like there might be a challenge there.
Yeah.
It's not
there's also the other side where I might be just really bored with school. I think I'll take some of the Big with me to regular school.
Though, of course, we're asking these questions with your dad right here, right? So it's hard to be like, yes, I'll be motivated to learn. What is it that makes Big so fun? Because I've heard it's really fun.
You get to do everything yourself. That's very fun. And he has a bit of funding, so we can go out and get stuff like superconductors and doers. And someone else went to Adventureland, and we strapped a bunch of accelerometers. I went along just to collect data. That was really fun.
So you guys had, was it iPods that had the little accelerometers, and you had them on, and you measured like a roller coaster? Was that?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that does sound really fun, right?
It does sound all right. I mean, it's very hands-on, it's very experimental, mm-hmm. I think, and that's something we don't always get in physics class even. I mean, we have labs in physics. We don't have real-life situations that we get to play around with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jeff, as an engineer, tell us a little bit about your education.
Well, I've had a lot of education. I ended mm-hmm. up getting a Dr. PhD Bishop. From the University of Iowa. Thanks, Sam.
Dr. Dad.
And that is kind of a good example of the difference between kind of the traditional classroom learning and kind of the initiative and doing your own thing. Because really, that's what you learn a lot of in graduate school. You're kind of thrown into a project, and you kind of, you know, almost like a Big approach to learning is where you do things on your own, and you have to do it yourself, really. So it's all, almost like getting some exposure to that style of education at a very early age, which I think is a good thing.
Fabulous. I was really interested when my husband was in graduate school getting his MFA as an artist. He was required to take a lot of coursework, a lot more than I sort of thought he was going to take. And I think that he also had wished he'd had a little bit more of this Big style freedom, you know, where he'd be in a community of people interested in the same things. He'd be allowed to follow his own passions and then kind of get together in a community and talk about his work. I think there's a lot of power in that graduate education where you have access to experts, access to facilities, and then you get to follow your own passion because you're advanced enough that you're probably pursuing one area of research. Maybe that was just his program and the time he went, but I think there's a lot of power to that community, to the resources, and being able to do your own thing. So let's talk a little bit more about Symposium, because I think that might be a really cool thing. Like, how long do they last? How many students were in Big?
Well, yeah, it really varies a lot. Sometimes we get done an hour. Sometimes it goes on for 2.5. Hmm. Some of the days, me and someone else are the only people there. Sometimes, like more than half the class is packed in there, which can be, like, 6 or 7.
Hmm. Nice. And, were you ever nervous having to talk to your peers about your project?
Only the first time, but really it's just talking about it. It's not like they're judging you or anything.
Okay.
Well, they are, but...
But not in a bad way.
Yeah.
So that Nicole brought up this idea of community. Did you feel that when, as a member of Big, did you feel like supported by your peers at all, or was it, or challenged by them in some way?
Yeah, they gave me a lot of suggestions and challenged me a little bit, thinking that they could come up with a better experiment, which they did not.
But their errors may have pushed you to mm-hmm. maybe better communicate why your experiment was a more valid way of doing it.
And it's always nice to know that at least if you do have the best idea, at least you're like, yeah, at least I'm not missing anything, right? Yeah. Right, I think in science, hopefully in theory, right, that's the point of peer review and colleagues is to help you out and say, you know, oh, gosh, your math looks bad here, or did you think about this approach? I mean, I think there's a lot of value to that, at least in my professional life.
Oh, yeah, I think in science that's generally true. You have the peer review process for publications and just this idea that a theory is constantly challenged with new approaches. So it's kind of the process of science.
Yeah, good to get used to challenges early on and ideas and input. I heard a piece on Iowa Public Radio about Big, and there was a young woman who was working on some plant and how it could filter wastewater better. I'm not sure if you know that specific student, but I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about what kinds of projects your peers were working on.
Well, there was the one where we were strapping accelerometers and going to Adventureland. There were some people working on evolution. There's some people working on like religion and science that are on there. I believe she was like asking why there are three quarks and that kind of thing. There's someone making bacon. Sausages, that kind of thing. Because Mr. Cornelli does that, and he like lend him some stuff. It's pretty interesting learning how, like, what the difference between like a sausage and Canadian bacon is.
Yes,
he is a fan of bacon. Isn't he?
Yes. Makes his own of lots of different things. So Mr. Cornelli is a really energetic guy. The few times that I've met him, he seems really enthusiastic. Did that kind of help carry you along in your project, or did you feel real self-motivated even without his input?
I would have felt self-motivated, but yes, his energy did help everyone get along.
Yeah, I think I can see him doing a really good job coordinating a lot of young, enthusiastic people. He brings a good energy. He mentioned somewhere, I think maybe on his blog, that he kept a Google Doc with all the conversations that you guys had. Like, was that something you could share and see?
Yeah, Google Doc, just like a progress thing, what we're supposed to be doing that week, and he shared it with us, and if we forget what we're supposed to be doing, we can look at that and get on the right track again.
Yeah, I like that as kind of a way to share and manage, like, expectations and ideas and kind of track, because we come up with lots of ideas, but how do we follow along with them?
Yeah, and was that, I wonder if there's a, if that was something that we should also share with you, Jeff, as a parent, was how involved were you in the projects that, or did you feel like you wanted to be involved or not involved at all? Mm-hmm. Or was there that kind of impetus from Sean or Mr. Canale?
I guess I was not really that involved, and I thought that worked out okay to let Sam kind of do his own thing and explore it on his own. I mean, I got to see some of the activities, you know, some pictures and things, and you know, watching him acquire this liquid nitrogen was kind of interesting. I helped him in some minor ways, you know, looking for this doer. And we were able to obtain a real lab coat.
Nice.
So I helped in some small ways, but mostly it was kind of Sam doing his own thing, and I didn't really know.
That was a good source of ideas, though.
Nice. So you could bounce things off, and yeah, as he came up with stuff.
Always helpful to have someone in the family who's a seasoned professional in engineering, if you're interested in the same kinds of things. So what did you have to do to get liquid nitrogen?
Well, biochem stores, they'll sell you liquid nitrogen for like $1 a liter. So, but the doer, I'll go through this long story. So at first I was trying to get one from biochem stores. But the guy there, Mr. Rogers, is kind of strange. And he would only talk to me when I physically went there, and that's the only time he'd look for it. So, I mean, I really couldn't get anything from him. Mr. Cornelli went around, got several of his friends, said they had one, but they wouldn't lend it to him because of whatever reason. I went to my friend from fencing. He's a professor at University of Iowa somewhere. He said he would lend me one, but his grad students won't let me take it. So eventually, I found a doer in the high school closet in Solon that hadn't been opened in like 5 years.
The reason that I ask about that and that I'm kind of interested in that is I think there's kind of an education in and of itself when you have to help provide yourself your own resources. Because in a traditional school environment, you know, in a chemistry lab or in a physics lab, they're going to have everything kind of set up for you. And I think when you have to find your own experts and find your own stuff, there's a little bit of an education involved in that, right? I think, anyway. So I think it's fun to get students out in the community, like, talking to the perhaps interesting fellow at the biochem stores. I know as a student, I didn't have a lot of those experiences. And then in college, when I started making student films, like, when I had to start acquiring things for myself, I was like, oh, my gosh, I've really taken for granted what's provided in school. And you get a little bit of a different education when you have to do that yourself. So, Sam, what do you want to do when you when you grow up?
I think I'd want to be a professor at like Cambridge or some big school like that, or be a doctor, either one.
Awesome. Very cool.
In more immediate future, what do you think is your next project to work on for BIG?
Mr. Cornelli said we, the students of BIG would be kind of working with Rockwell a little bit over the school year. I'm not sure exactly what with, but...
Hmm. Jeff, would you recommend BIG to other parents and families and students?
Yeah, I think it was a good experience, and it's a good, I think, an alternative, at least for a summer program. I think it was a nice summer program, and I think even during the school year, I think it's got a lot of potential to be a good way to learn and, you know, take on some things you wouldn't get normally at school, certainly.
Very cool. Do you get formal grades at BIG?
It's not exactly like this, but it's kind of a pass-fail thing.
Okay.
If you can prove that you're proficient in it, you get the credit, and goes on your transcript as you've taken that class. And
Can you talk a little bit about how you prove proficiency then?
Well, you do things like do the demonstration in the public. That was a good way to prove proficiency. He has a blog going up where you write about all the stuff you've done. And that's another thing I should probably do.
List of things to do yet.
I know when we had talked to Sean, and just in my other understanding of BIG, he's talked a lot about, you know, the community gets to assess how students are doing. I mean, obviously I would never be able to grade you in any way, shape, or form on anything physics related. But I really appreciated you talking to me about it. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing your experience. Yeah, I'm really curious to keep my eye on BIG and try to stay involved with how I can watch just young people in my community, like the things that they're interested in, the ways that they're growing, the ways that they can demonstrate proficiency to a layperson like me. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's really neat to be a part of that and to be asked to be a part of people's learning just as part of the community, I think would be, that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. So, any closing thoughts about BIG, what it's like? Want to see more of that in public education?
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, it's a loaded question. I'm good at asking loaded questions. But.
It's good for some people, but I think if you just took the general population and said everyone has to do it, most people would just not do anything at all and get no education whatsoever. But it's good for the smart people.
indeed. Well, we'll keep an eye on it, watch how it develops, and look forward to seeing demonstrations of your transporter once it gets going. I may not be the first person in it, though. I'm not really wanting my atoms to be completely
not an
scrambled
early adopter
yet. Right. Not when my atoms are at stake, so. Well, thanks, everyone. You can find this recording online, as always, at our blog, www.educationis.us. And have a great day.